So to begin the meditation, generate an altruistic motivation. The actual practice of a bodhisattva is the six perfections. So training in the perfection of generosity, a bodhisattva will willingly give their possessions, their virtue, their time, and even give their own bodies for the needs of sentient beings. Ordinary bodhisattvas or aspiring bodhisattvas also train giving their worldly possessions and virtues and time to others, but they don't actually give their body. Non-Arya bodhisattvas and ordinary beings would only give their body in visualized meditation. When bodhisattvas give, they don't think of reward. They understand that all that they have of value has come from the kindness of others. They guard against a self-cherishing mind, not wanting even a smile or any recognition. Their practice of generosity is wealth. Out any self-interest. They guard against the afflictions, particularly miserliness, our own miserliness pollutes our practice of generosity. We're generous but wait for a reward or look for a good reputation or some gratitude or focus on the good karmic results that will happen in the future. Whereas bodhisattvas give unreservedly. So the advice here is to reflect and meditate on the pure practice of generosity undertaken by bodhisattvas, as it's a key cause in the ripening of our own bodhicitta. Consider how all the resources that we have come about in dependence on others, because our generosity in the past is dependent on others. we've been taught how to be generous and the importance of it. We've been encouraged by parents and teachers and virtuous friends. So have a pure mind in giving our resources, our possessions, our body. In terms of physical actions for others. But not actually giving our body at this stage until we're an Arya Bodhisattva. If our resources are limited, then we can generate very good offerings on our altar with water and other offerings, including visualized offerings. Then the perfection of ethical conduct . If one doesn't restrain oneself, then we can't even help ourselves, let alone others. We can't avoid a lower rebirth. Without restraining our body, speech and mind, we're completely hindered in our practice of equanimity or loving kindness or compassion. Ethics is the basis of all good qualities. And ethical restraint is the primary cause for a good rebirth as a human or God. The higher concentration of wisdom cannot be achieved if ethical restraint is missing or weak. So our primary focus is restraining our body, speech and mind. And most importantly, restraining our self-cherishing mind. This is very important if we aim to be like the great bodhisattvas. If we aspire to the Mahayana paths, they cherish others, and it's the basis of their practice of bodhicitta and the six perfections. Mindfulness is of what is happening in our own mind is very important. Examine what is the direction of our own mind. become skilled in guarding against afflictions, particularly self-cherishing. Keep the mind virtuous to bring about a good rebirth, life after life, and seek out situations that enable you to benefit others. Then the perfection of patience, bodhisattvas are eager to accumulate merit, to progress on the paths and to help others. So they're keen to practice the six perfections with bodhicitta. They're keen to perfect them to the point where they attain Buddhahood. So through their continual training, their familiarity, their realizations, the bodhisattvas see sources of harm as like a rare and precious treasure. Just like we might see an actual valuable treasure as something extremely joyful. Bodhisattvas have long meditated on the sufferings of cyclic existence and the causes of those sufferings. And they're very familiar identifying the afflictions as the enemy. They've developed great compassion and loving kindness. So they find it easy to transform difficult circumstances into the path. So now, as we face the various difficulties of the coronavirus and isolation, think how some people are dying. Or grieving from the loss of a loved one. Or greatly afraid because of some weakness of the lungs that they're going to get sick. Recognize that this suffering comes from causes and conditions in the past. And think that those negative imprints on our own and others' minds they can ripen into suffering results. So take on the suffering of all those who are suffering now because of the coronavirus. those seeds that can lead to a hell rebirth or a preta or animal rebirth in the minds of others. May they ripen on me. May those beings come to meet the Dharma. May they practice the Mahayana paths and achieve enlightenment. So we need to train in tolerating the harm that comes from others or outside situations. We need to guard our mind from getting distressed or allowing afflictions to arise. When we see that we can transform our mind and gain some success in this training, then joy can arise, and inner strength. When we get frustrated or angry or ill, it's a sign of being overwhelmed by circumstances that are arising. So determine not to be overwhelmed. Determine to see that the causes and conditions are from the past and that they need purifying. And so our practice is transforming these negative conditions in this human life and eradicating those seeds that could be a rebirth in the lower realms. See, this is an opportunity, and train in that way, like the bodhisattvas. So then the perfection of joyous perseverance. So hearers and solitary realizers are not distracted and don't procrastinate as if they were putting out a fire on their head. While bodhisattvas will strive with much more energy because they're aiming to benefit all sentient beings and are aiming for the highest state of Buddhahood. The source of all good qualities is joyous perseverance. So rejoice in whatever opportunity we have. Rejoice in every virtuous thought or deed that we engage in. Rejoice in the training that we do and the skills that we develop. Think how pleased the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are when we practice. And then the training in concentration, the perfection of concentration. We need to develop wisdom to be able to eliminate the root ignorance. But to do that, the wisdom needs the strength and the power of the union of calm abiding and special insight. It's only with that very powerful union of calm abiding and special insight that we're able to eliminate innate self-grasping. Achieving calm abiding is an actual blissful state of mind. We get many clairvoyances, but the Bodhisattva is not aiming for the benefits of calm abiding for those ends. The Bodhisattva is determined to conjoin that calm abiding with meditative insight. Because of the need to realize emptiness, to counter the root of sattvic existence. So the work on concentration comes having already familiarized and been able to accumulate a vast store of merit. The perfection of concentration is the fifth of the six perfections. There's a great purpose for our developing calm abiding. We need to give it the special attention it needs. By training in calm abiding in the proper order of the perfections and going on to generate a union of calm abiding and special insight. To actually counter the root of cyclic existence. So then to conclude, Junjub Senchurim Purshe Makhe Panyam Ke Gurshe Ke Panyam Pame Payam Gong Ne Gong Du Pau Bar Shu.